hear me now?
There we go.
So, today, I have a couple updates I want to give, and I want to publicly thank you all for your prayers this week. Dad is home. He got home Friday. Had his gallbladder removed. However, after they removed his gallbladder, they told him he didn't think that was what was causing the problem. He had a pouch on his intestine. I guess when your intestine formed, and I don't know, Jamie, you can answer this, Patsy. It forms in three different stages, is that correct? And then connects. I guess at one of the spots where it connected when he was in the womb or when he was an infant, there was a pouch on it. So they had to scrape that off. They think that's what was causing the problem. But he is now gallbladder free and pouch free on his intestine. Seems to be doing well. Our prayer is now just the pathology comes back correct on that. But he's doing good. Has some staples, three spots here and one on above his belly button. About 10 staples total. But you know, the funny thing about that whole thing was, I know what my dad did when he was a teenager. I know what he told me he did as a teenager. And this was the first time this dude's been in the ER or the hospital. He's 73 years old. That's a pretty good life. And that got me thinking, that's God's grace. He don't deserve that. Some of the junk he told me he did when he was a teenager, man, he should have been in the hospital. Okay, that was that update. Second update is Lindsay is now at her station where she will be for the next 4 to 5 months. We don't even know. But it wasn't without challenge. She was in, I forget what the name of it is, IUD'd for 14 days in quarantine. And then the military cracks me up. They moved them out of quarantine and put them basically in a hotel at the front of the base. Now, she is in the Air Force, okay? Because they didn't have a way to get them to Iraq. We don't have planes in the military, but I'll tell you, the more I see of the military, I have no doubt why our country is in the shape it's in, because we are unorganized and the right hand doesn't always know what the left hand's doing. But she eventually got moved. It was yesterday morning. She sent us a text message, which would have been like, was that right? Yeah. So they're 7 hours ahead of us, so we got the message about 10 that she was finally wheels down in Iraq. And she started work. We got a message this morning that she had her first day of work and life is good. Guys, pray for our military, because I saw the living quarters she's going to be living in. Let me just say, Morgan, there ain't no way she's living there. We are pampered. And she's living in basically a 6x6 plywood box inside of a tent. Has air conditioning now, so life's good. But I was just like, wow. It's getting better. As they're being transported, they get to one of their stops. They had three stops, well, four landings between IUD'd and Iraq, wherever they're at. And they put them on hold, and they said, we don't think we're going to be able to travel anymore. I said, why? And she said, because of our weapons. I said, what do you mean because of your weapons? Well, they carry their M4s in like sniper cases, basically. And they weren't allowed to travel with them in their cases. So they had to take them out of their cases, I assume leave their cases wherever, and carry their M4s and the C-130 and the cargo. Which, I don't know why they don't travel with them anyway. If something goes bad, I want to have that dude with me. But whatever. So thank you for your prayer. She is down safely. She is digging in the dirt and having some marvelous time. Continue to pray for her and our whole military for their safety. But things are good. Lastly, I did something really dumb last week, and I'm going to need a volunteer. Brenna, would you? Brenna would, okay. Because, yeah, come on up. You give good back scratches. How about head scratches? Can you do that? No? Okay, can you get my back a big scratch? I mean, dig it. I got sunburned so bad. I'm telling you, I am hurting, unit. I am peeling all over. Thank you very much. If you see me wiggling around up here later, come get me again, please. But I got burnt so bad, and I'm peeling, and Chris called me Friday at work and said, I think you are worse than a snake. And for your wife to call you something worse than a snake, I was like, what are you talking about? She said, I just cleaned the bathtub and the sink, and there's like scales. And I'm like, I'm sorry. But you can see my head is three different colors, and it's pretty wild. But we're going to get through it because God is good. Today I want to talk to you, and we're gonna Bible jump some. It's funny how Jamie's prayer before communion, before communion, part of her prayer focused on mercy and grace. Today's message is going to be titled "Walking in God's Mercy." I want to give you a definition. The Webster's definition of mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. That's mercy, guys. That means even though I do so many bad things, God's mercy covers me. Now, what's the difference between mercy and grace? Now, I'm going to give you Matt's words. Mercy, not getting the punishment we deserve. Grace, getting a gift we don't deserve. Okay? I don't think we fully understand God's mercy and God's grace. So, first passage we're going to use today is Matthew 5. And I promise we're going to jump. There is just a ton of passages that talk about God's mercy and God's grace. And we're going into the Beatitudes. And we all know that, it starts out, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom in heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Guys, if you ever need uplifted, if you ever need to know how to live your life, look at this passage. It covers a multitude of things. It's Matthew 5. And those who mourn, bless those who mourn. They will be comforted. But what I want to focus on is, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Guys, it's in our personality, it's in our body makeup, our mind makeup, for us to show mercy for someone. It's not in our brain makeup, usually. Show that. So our heart has to be stronger than our brain for us to show mercy. We have to pour more into our heart so that our heart takes over in those brain situations. Anybody ever had somebody do something wrong to them? No, just me? Okay, everybody has. Man, do you want to show that person mercy? Or do you want to show that person a 2x4? Right? I've said before, I get the 2x4 as a reminder occasionally. Case in point, sunburn. Chris was right there with me saying, hey, you're getting pretty red. You probably ought to put some sunscreen on. I said, I'm already past the sunscreen part. It didn't hurt until I got in the shower. And she's not showing me any mercy right now, scratching my back, I'm telling you. But I need her heart to be bigger than her brain. So she can show me some mercy and scratch my back. Oh, I kid. But guys, if we want to be shown mercy, we have to demonstrate that we understand what mercy is. We have no greater illustration than Jesus dying on the cross for us. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. And I love the how we're going to show mercy. It says in verse 35, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That's hard. That's hard sometimes. Listen, you don't think it was hard for God to send His Son, knowing everything the world was doing and will do and will continue to do? We have a hard time understanding the whole process, right? We read it, we believe it, but do we really understand it? 2,000 years ago, around, this guy came to the cross for me 2,000 years later and suffered immense pain, immense he was humiliated. What did he say at the end? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He wasn't talking to those people selling his clothes or bidding his clothes and doing whatever. He was talking about me that day. Father, forgive him because he doesn't know what he's doing. That's pretty powerful when you think about it. But that's the depth of our God's mercy. You think He can forgive somebody for cutting you off on the road? You think He can forgive somebody for doing something you think is pretty simple? Guys, we have the ultimate blueprint. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. A couple chapters to your right. This is the main passage I want to use. I could have used many different passages here. The one where they're stoning the prostitute comes to mind. We could have used that to show the mercy and the grace, but we didn't. I'm going to use the Good Samaritan today. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus' response, Jesus was kind of a smart aleck. You know, he knew they were asking him questions to put him in a corner. And any time they did that, his responses were priceless. He said, well, what's written in the law? How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. You hear me? Did you hear me? A priest was walking down the road, and when he saw the guy laying in the ditch, beaten and bruised and battered and naked, he went to the other side. Okay? So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed too on the other side. This next word kills me. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, and gave to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Guys, why I made a big deal about that, but because we had a priest and a Levite up here in society. Then we had the lowly Samaritan. Okay? Not too many people like the Samaritans. He took the time, made the effort to help. Okay? And not only did he help, he took him in and he gave him basically 3 free nights stay at least. He said, take care of him, and whatever expense you incur to the innkeeper, I will cover it when I get back from doing what I need to do. This guy took time out of his schedule. He was inconvenienced, but he helped anyway. Then Jesus' response is, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? An expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. What I want you to know is, guys, it doesn't take great acts from us to show mercy. I mean, that guy kind of just showed compassion. He showed love. He really didn't go that far out of his way to help this guy. But he sure didn't cross the street. That brings me to a story I want to tell you. I drive around a lot, and I was, for whatever reason, well, when I go to GFS in Marion, I use the Walmart extension. Instead of staying on the road, I cut through the Walmart parking lot. And there was this lady, and she had a sign, and it said, I have 3 kids. I need help. So, and I'm not telling you this because it was a great deed by me. I pulled over, I gave her a $10 bill. Not going to get a lot of help, but if she needs to go buy a loaf of bread, a thing of milk, some cheese for her kids, she could do that. So I showed compassion, okay? Let's forward. 3 hours later, I'm in Bucyrus. I'm ending my day. I'm at Walmart. I pull into Walmart's parking lot. I see the same woman with the sign. I have 3 kids. Need help, please. You know, part of me wanted to be irritated by that. Because I don't know. Was it a scam? I don't know. She may need help. But that's not on me to decide. that's not on me to decide. And that's the first time I really have ever pulled over and gave somebody money on the side of the road. I mean, I've paid people's bill behind me at McDonald's before or whatever, but that's the first time I've ever really done that. And you know, God put me at peace with that. I mean, $10, it was $10. To her, it may as well have been $1,000, maybe. I don't know. But that's the kind of compassion. You don't have to give people money, though. Just show them love. Show them compassion. Guys, He showed His love for us. How do we show His love to the world? It's through our actions. It's through our actions. Let's go on. Ephesians 2. You're right. I didn't mark them because I wanted to get there the same time everybody else. Should have marked them. Oh, man. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. And the title of chapter 2 is Made Alive in Christ. But I'm going to skip down to verse 4, and it says, Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. There's some words I want you to underline there. I want you to underline great love, rich in mercy, alive with Christ, and by grace you have been saved. That's pretty cool. Notice it doesn't say anything we do. It does not say because of what you've done, because of what you said, you're alive in Christ. It's because of His great love for us that God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our own transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Guys, that's the thing I don't think everybody understands about Christianity. I think people think because I'm a great guy. It's not. Listen, I am not chosen to live eternal life because of anything that I have done except for one thing. I made the choice to live with Jesus Christ. And all the other stuff is God's grace and God's mercy. Because I don't deserve any of it. Go back to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to be in verse 13. Actually, I'm going to read verse 12. This is when he was calling Matthew to be a disciple. And it says, actually, you know what? We're going to do verse 9 too. We're going to read all the way from 9. As Jesus went from there, He saw a man named Matthew sitting in a tax collector's booth. Follow me, He told him, and Matthew got up and followed Him. So here, I want you to think about that for a second. Here is Matthew, working presumably for the government, the Roman government, sitting at a table collecting taxes and maybe not keeping some for himself. So he's probably not real well liked, right?
No.
I hate April 15th. Okay? But here Jesus comes up and says, hey, follow me. And what's the same Matthew did? He got up and followed him. No questions asked. Pretty cool. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Guys, sometimes I think that is society's view of the church. You know, society thinks, oh, everybody goes to church, it's holy, holy, holy people, right? Guys, we're broke. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Guys, Jesus knows. Jesus is pointing out here that we're all broken. That we're all sinners. There is nobody better than anybody else as far as sin goes. There was one. Okay, and because of our sin, we nail him to the cross. But that's Jesus' point here. Is, guys, you all need to hear this message. You all. I am here for all of mankind. Not just the righteous. Not just the Pharisees. And that's probably why the Pharisees hate him so much. He says, go learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He didn't want the righteous to come down to his level. He wanted to take the rest of the world and bring it to his level by his sacrifice, not by what we sacrifice. Because we haven't sacrificed anything. I know some of us, sometimes I think we sacrifice a lot. But then I see people in other countries. Or our military living in a 6x6 box. Or homeless people. Or whatever. Guys, understand, Christianity is not for the righteous. Christianity is for the sinners. And it's kind of funny how the hospital is for the sick. Church is for the sinners. Right? For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Be thankful that we serve a God that isn't keeping track. He knows every sin we've committed. But he's not putting the check tally marks up. You know, God is not sitting up in heaven saying, oh, this man, beep, check, check, check. That's just Monday. Not doing it. He remembers, I'm going to answer for my sins. But then I'm going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, because of his grace and his mercy. Two more passages. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Guys, it doesn't say let us approach God's throne like we're downtrodden, we're beaten down. It says you approach God's throne with confidence so that you can see His mercy and His grace. Everybody likes grace, right? That's the easy one. Everybody likes a gift we don't deserve, right? I do. You know, I like a new pair of shoes I didn't buy, and somebody gave it to me. Pretty cool. But do we fully understand mercy? Mercy is, instead of getting that pair of shoes, Matt, I'm going to give you this beat up pair of shoes with holes in it because that's really what you deserve. Thank God we don't serve a God that has no mercy. And 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That is a lot of heavy, heavy, heavy stuff. What I want you to take from that. And in His great mercy, He's given us new life, eternal life, by allowing His Son to be resurrected. We could go weeks about resurrection, right? Here's what I'll tell you. Jesus was dead. He rose from the dead. He showed Himself to the people that needed to see Him alive. Then He ascended into heaven. That is where we will go, because of our faith and because of God's mercy and God's grace. It doesn't say that the inheritance is here on earth. Why do you suppose that is? If our inheritance from God came down to earth, well, it did, we'd spoil it. We did it. We did it, guys. We spoiled our inheritance. You know, how cool would that be to be living with Jesus today? You know, Jesus stopped over on a Monday night. Hey, Matt, what's going on? What'd Chris fix your supper? I don't know. She asked me 18 times what I wanted. I told her I don't care. So it's whatever she puts on the table. But guys, our inheritance is in heaven because of what Jesus did. It's never going to come back down to earth and spoil and rot and whatever. It's going to be perfect. Our inheritance is perfect in heaven. It's always going to be perfect. We have to live through this life to get there. But it says, We will be shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed for the last time. Listen, when Jesus comes back, that's the last time He's coming back. That's it. Finito. You're going to live in eternity with Him, or eternity in hell. understand how much mercy God has, how much grace He has to continuously give us that option. I have five things I want you to think about this week. Things that we should take note and practice so that our prayer for mercy and favor can be answered. Number one, we need to stay connected with God. You know, you can't pray for God's favor if you're not trying on your end. Number two, repent of any sin and from secret unholy dealings that might be a hindrance. What does that mean? That means if you got something in your life that's gnawing at you and that you know is not right, repent from it, walk away from it, and get rid of all the junk that leads you back to it. Number three, decide to live in obedience to God's word and trust God to help with the decision. Guys, if we make that decision solely by ourselves, and we don't talk to God about it, it's going to be really, really hard. Because it's going to be hard anyway because of the society we live in. But keep going back to God for His guidance. You know, any decision you make in your life, let God have it first before you decide. He'll give you the answer. It may not be the answer you want. You know, Lord, I want this new house. I want a new swimming pool. My kids have never had that. I know they prayed for it, but we don't need a pool. We'd never get anything done if we had a pool. And I'd walk around peeling all the time. Number four, this is a great one. Walk in daily love. Daily love. And that's God's love. That's not love like you love your spouse. Let's go out and show people God's love daily. Number five, be a person of prayer and trust God for the grace to always pray. Every situation we have in our life is going to be better with prayer. You know, even bad situations, sometimes we have bad situations that we pray about and we don't get the answer we want, right? Is that situation better because you pray? It gives you some clear understanding anyway, and it gives you some, okay, I know maybe it's just God's timing. I'm going to learn something from this. Every situation is better with prayer. And if you need evidence of that, take a look around the church and think about things we've prayed for over the last year and see the results. They're not always the results we ask for, but they're the results that's best for God's kingdom, because He knows better than I do. If it was up to me, we'd get everything we prayed for like that. Because, you know, instantaneous society, man, we want it. Hey, God, I'll take that new car. Right? Hey, God, I want to be perfectly healthy and be a good-looking guy. Man, that'd be a miracle, by the way. Yeah. But understand that God's grace is a gift that we don't deserve. And God's mercy is on our lives every day. Single day. We have to follow, and we have to dig deep, and we have to pray. We got to show God's love, guys. That's the biggest thing I think is missing from society today, is we don't have many people actually just showing God's love without wanting something in return. You know, I know a lot of people that'd be nice to me, but then they'll say, hey, remember that time I was nice to you? Okay? Guys, we show God's love. We don't need anything in return. We've already got God's love. And there's nothing greater in the world than the guy sending his son to cover my sin. As I think about that, it's incredible. It's hard to wrap your mind around. But do you realize that 2,000 years ago, he was thinking of Doug, Burlton, Olivia, Matt, when he was hanging there on the cross? Listen, sometimes all we can think about is me. He was thinking about millions and millions and millions of people by name, by hair on our head, while he was hanging on the cross. That is the God you serve. That is why I say when we serve wholeheartedly, we get results. When we serve like we don't want to be here, it comes through. I'm guilty of that. I've been up here and not been prepared for messages and been like, God will take over. Listen, God does take over. But he wants me to do the best I can do to show his love every single day of my life. Sometimes I fail. A lot of times I fail. But he shows me mercy every day. Sometimes 12 to 150 times a day. All right? I'm going to close this up in prayer. We'll have the praise team here. If you have a need, if you want to start your walk with Christ, there's no day like today. Do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we are so thankful for your Son and the fact that you sent him to cover my sin is amazing, Lord. Lord, use us this week. Let us show your love. Put us in situations that we can show some mercy, some grace, and your love to everyone we come in contact with this week, Lord. Just be with the rest of the service and be with everybody as they head out this week.